A week solidarity Bricky team listener when there's good news and bad news. First, the bad news is we're only halfway through. The good news is we're halfway through. As the big issue that gripped the Canberra Press Gallery and therefore the nation yesterday was whether Socialist Party Supremo and would-be big Supremo Anthony Albanese, who's suffering from COVID may well have been, Albanese should have attended a particular press event on his first day out of isolation after his doctor told him to go slowly, and big Supremo Scuttle Them More Lash Son, a.k.a. Scummo, said he had been more active when laid up with COVID than Anthony had been active. And we all thought, doesn't the future of government in this country hang on some critical ideological threats? And a couple of strokes of bad luck for Scummo, as last week he and big economic guru Josh Pride M. Icebergs boasted the unemployment rate, which at least they knew, would fall below 4% thanks to their economic expertise. And then out came the figure, not below 4%, but then they assured us it would be a lot higher under a socialist government. And this week they assured us inflation would be about 3 point something, and would you believe it came up at 5.1%. Will the Reserve Bank increase interest rates this Tuesday, forcing Scummo to point out this shows unemployment races out of control, inflation soars, and interest rates rise at the very thought that there may be a socialist government? Imagine how much worse the economy would look if there was a socialist government, he warned as Josh nodded wisely. But this has happened under your watch. This has nothing to do with us. It's caused by international issues outside our control. But you just said it was the Socialist Party's fault. International issues outside our control and the Socialist Party. So when the figures are good, it's nothing to do with the government. It's issues outside your control. Of course not. It's due to our responsible management of the economy. And it must be, because again, Josh nodded wisely. The US OBS big gun sent to the Solomons to set them straight threatened the US OBS could not rule out military action against the Solomons if evil China established a train killer base there without blushing. Satire simply can't compete here. It would be satirical if it wasn't so serious. The US of, which has trained killer bases all over the Pacific and Asia, many surrounding evil China, we'd think at least they'd be slightly embarrassed. But then threatening the Solomons makes sense, because the bully always takes on the small guy, even if it fails to learn from history that the small guy has been beating up on it, and it's been forced to retreat in a military shambles these past 50 years. Go Solomons! The big gun, Daniel Crichton Brink of War, did say, "We reiterate our respect for sovereignty of the Solomon Islands, as long as they do what we tell them." Back here, our Minister for Being Offensive and Train Killing, Constable Peter Duffer, was being very offensive toward evil China, even resorting to paraphrasing a dangerous leftist author, "War is peace-like." And to achieve peace, we must pour trillions and trillions into the bottomless coffers of the merchants of death. An appropriate and fitting way to celebrate our great national day that honed our cherished true Lawazi values by landing on the wrong beach in a military disaster. And as Constable Duffer prepares either to invade the Solomons, yet again on the coattails of the US of, or even to invade China, which would make the previous military disasters look like a game of marbles, we asked him whether he supported the practice in the days of yore of those who declare war leading the train killers into battle. And surprisingly, Pete did not support the practice. No. But even if he doesn't lead the train killers into battle, Constable Duffer has shown great courage under fire. Notice his posters have his head on them. Not sure that's such a great idea. And in a feature article about him, the poor journalist anyway, former caring business class big economic guru Joe Haggie, the worker, said, "Pete has authenticity." My God, that's even more depressing. He means it. Pete's successor as Minister for Keeping Us Secure, Curran, and screws things up, said the Solomons deal showed evil China was interfering in the Trubler-Wazzy election, presumably with Socialist Party support, showing Curran has obviously attended the Light Constable Duffer School of Logic, like. One certainty is Pete just won't shut up, will he? One day yelling evil China had bribed the Solomons. Our foreign aid is purely for the benefit of our Pacific family, as we like to call them, especially now, Pete. Like, yes, you know, as long as it, you know, like benefits Trubler was he like caring business class. And then his declaration of war is peace, and then next day Pete said we'd be shocked at the extent of evil Chinese spying. Like, you know. Goodness me, how shocking, Pete. How did we find out? Like, you know, like our spies told us, like. And this case against a lawyer that has to be held in camera, something about Timor-Leste? Yes, like his client revealed Trubler was he had been spying, you know, like on the Timor-Leste government. They must be a serious threat. Should we invade them? We can't, like, you know, rule it out. It must have been a matter of national importance, a threat to our national security. It was, like, very important to Woodside with profits, to its bottom-line security. But, like, our spying is for, you know, peaceful-like purposes, like, you know, fossil fuel extraction-like. And good news on that front, the election of José Ramos Horta in Timor-Leste has Woodside with profits very excited, popping the corks, as the revival of its delayed Timor Sea gas proposal is looking very promising. And just a pity that poor Woodside with, along with Santos, the profits, finished almost at the bottom of a Bloomberg ranking of the world's major fossils. And given the record of most of them, that's not saying a lot. While their relentless pursuit of more and more fossils won't do much to improve their ranking, their rank ranking. But they assure us they are committed to zero emissions by 2050. So presumably they'll start doing something about it roughly 2049, if the planet hasn't fried to death. But anyway, they tell us zero emissions won't mean zero emissions. We'll still have to extract and use fossils because they're there and they bring in lots and lots of lovely profit. And they'll pay good money to plant a tree somewhere. That'll save whatever's left of the planet circa 2050. Even if the tree never actually gets planted, Woodside with profits paid for it in good faith, the good faith that it could go on spewing its zero emissions. Anyway, hayseed and sheepshit giant mind Matt Canavan of Coal said zero emissions by 2050 was now dead. It's all fossils, fossils, fossils. Zooming emissions by 2050, and with fossils like Matt around, it shows a caring business class government would continue its dedicated campaign against climate change, if there is such a thing. And to cheer us up even more, Anthony Albanese promised a Sydney shock jock he would never introduce a carbon tax. Never, ever. After last week promising he would approve new coal mines. So it's looking promising for the planet and its creatures. Our only hope is Anthony was being clever, because the term tax was imposed on a carbon price by former big supremo Tiny a bit more for the bosses. A great big new tax. A great big new tax. Which nonetheless remains a price on pollution, a carbon price whose non-payment is yet another invaluable subsidy to the fossils, adding to their huge profits, which we all know are good for all of us. So as no price on carbon emissions is good for all of us, thank you, Sydney Shock Jock and Anthony, and Matt and Scummo and all of them. Well, especially Matt, perhaps, for spilling the beans, which by 2050 will be able to be grown in the tropical Antarctic, if there's any humans alive to eat them. But how nauseating was the veneration of war is peace, and as we say every year, the media promotion of children wearing slouch hats and or the medals of some relative or other, eulogising war and trained killing, while the same media tells us totalitarian regimes brainwash dear little children. So nauseating that I couldn't turn on the telly to watch the footy until the ABC radio announced the bounce due to the pre-game jingoistic crap. But as I always watch it with the ABC radio commentary, I never get to hear the ads. But there's one with an elderly couple of my vintage sitting at a table with the woman looking very smug and clever as she reveals on her phone some McDonald's feature as they prepare to bombard their bodies with all that salt, sugar and fat. And I think there's two possibilities. They've made a joint suicide pact, or she'll only pretend to eat her so-called meal and plans to kill him. On a nauseating week, listener, if you also watch it, do we share the same nausea on the footy channel whenever that misogynistic sexual harasser and domestic violence perpetrator Wayne Carey comes on the screen? It's an insult. Apparently we're supposed to forget his atrocious record away from football. On the media, why do they think some things are news when they're clearly not? Like a headline in yesterday's Troubler Aussie Capitalist Review, businesses pass on increased costs. What's the news in that? It'd only be news if they didn't. Next to that, interesting juxtapositioning, Labor to act on unpaid super. Workers would be able to take their caring employer to court over unpaid super. Good grief, doesn't the Socialist Party realise this would push prices up even more, hurting those very workers? Myopia, myopia. What a wonderful gesture if workers gave a little back to their caring employers and said, yes, yes, you can keep the money you've stolen from us. Caring employers would so appreciate it. And don't forget, Scummo and Josh have promised stagnant wages will stop being stagnant, will increase after the election. Finally, interesting that after the big events, week after week, the Grand Prix, the Sunday fashion, the sundry fashion weeks, train killer celebrations, they've obviously decided enough is enough, that it would be overkill to give even a mention, even a line, even a word to May Day. Caring employers of the world unite. So on behalf of the media that seems to have missed it, happy May Day. Good morning.